Now, I know no one would just leave now without hearing the word, because God honors his word above his own name. Is that right? It's the foundation of the throne of God. Father, I pray in the next just couple minutes that this word is going to be alive by your spirit to our hearts. We've come to worship you. We've come to praise you. We've come, Lord, just to know your presence as we worship together in one. And we've come, Lord, to hear your word, that you would speak to us, instruct us, and lead us and guide us in your purposes and plan. Now anoint me and anoint our hearts as we receive this word in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to start. Let's just open the scriptures together. And this is a verse that you're familiar with, I believe. Turn in 2 Timothy to chapter 1. We're going to read in verse 9. How many of you tonight, you know absolutely that you are saved? You have eternal life. Jesus has come into your life and you love him more than life itself. Is that right? And how many know God's got a plan for your life? It says in verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now it's not only talking about that heavenly calling, it's talking about a calling in your life now. Every Christian that's saved, God has a plan. And there's not an exception. Every person in this room is called. And that plan, God has made and tailored for your life. And it's not like anyone else's. There can be the same giftings, but they're still going to be different. You can have two musicians, but they're not going to be the same. You can have two vocalists, they're not going to be the same. You have two keyboard players. They're not going to be the same. So we all have different gifts. Even though they may have the same gift as someone else, there's a call on your life. Besides getting saved, the most important thing you're going to do is find out the calling that God has for your life and fulfill it. Now, that doesn't mean that you are called into full-time ministry. We're all full-time ministers. But I'm talking about leaving a, quote, secular job and becoming a missionary or a pastor. I mean, that's awesome. Or an evangelist, or that you, just like these guys, have given their lives just to worship the Lord and tour and minister to people. But God has full-time calling in every life here. Whether you're a businessman, whether you're a CEO, whether you know, you're a housewife, whether you are a receptionist, whether you pump gas. We don't do that anymore, do they? We pump it ourselves now. We do it and they charge you more. And I don't know how that works. But I know that when I got saved, I was just so blown away that God was there, that he was real, that he came into my life. And then he loved me. And it would change my life forever. And I was aware immediately God had a plan for my life. He had something for me to do. And just immediately, most of you were, it was in a hospital when I found the Lord. And immediately I began to seek God. I wanted to find out. I'm not going to do it my way anymore. Wasted 24 years doing it my way. Never got anywhere. Never found fulfillment. I want to know, Lord, the purpose and plan that you have for me. I knew it wasn't going to happen, you know, immediately, that it was just, I was just going to know. But I knew that God wanted me to start seeking that with all my heart. And I did. I just began to seek the Lord. It's not going to just fall on your lap. It's not going to just... one day a lightning bolt hits you on the head, you know, and you wake up and say, duh, I know the will of God. I know that happens for hard-headed people, but it's, you know, it's very rare. And that is when we really begin to seek the Lord, and it unfolds. It's a little bit at a time. That the Lord wants us to be faithful in any area, and as we just grow in that faithfulness, He gives us more. And then He gives us a little more, and He gives us a little more. If we can't be faithful over small things, He's not going to give us anything more than that. And so, it's our faithfulness. You know, in the book of Colossians, here's Paul praying, and he says, "For this cause we also, since the day that we heard about you, we cease not to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." That's the first thing on the list here. We heard about you. We heard you got saved. Now we're praying for you. We don't stop praying that you might really know and understand God's will for your life. You're never going to find fulfillment until you find God's will for your life. And it's not going to be like anybody else's life. So, you know, there's no sense in even comparing yourself. I want to do this. I want to do that. God has a plan. It's all yours. You're going to have to start seeking it. The Lord tells us in Ephesians not to be unwise in understanding what the will of God is. So it's not like He doesn't want you to know it. But He does want you to begin to seek it, seek after it, and obey Him in whatever He's telling you to do. Just do whatever it is that God's telling you to do and begin there and do it. How many of you in this room, I don't care for how I phrase this. I mean, first let's start with basics. How many in this room know that you are called to full-time ministry or whatever you do, wherever you are? God's called you to be a minister, wherever you are. I don't care if you're selling parts in an auto store. God's called you to minister there, right? You anoint Him with motor oil. Hallelujah. But let me see your hand again. You know you're called into full-time ministry. Whatever you're doing, that's what God's called you to. That's your primary vocation. How many of you know not only that that's your full-time vocation, but you really feel called into full-time ministry as to, you know, be a missionary or a pastor or a counselor or something where you're looking for God to lead you into that place, and you believe it's going to be a full-time thing that the ministry supports you and you're just going to give it all, whatever you want to do. Let me see your hands. You feel called. Let me see. Will you stand up? You're called in a full-time ministry. God's called to separate you out, whatever that may be. Look, I mean, that's amazing. You know, that it looks like maybe a third or a fourth of the room. In any church, I mean, that many people, just, you know, it's really incredible. How many right now, it's still a little vague, you're not sure what it is, but you're saying, "Here I am, Lord," and you just lift your hands up. How many of you just know that you know? You say, "Man, I know what God wants me to do." See? That's awesome. Thank you so much. I felt like the Lord whispered in my heart just a few words. I don't have notes tonight, but I want to share with you. So first of all, God's called every one of us. You know, that God has predestined that plan, that purpose for our lives, and that God wants us to have wisdom and understanding what it is, and He wants us to seek after it. And we're going to grow into it, and that don't just wait for it to come drop on your lap. There's all kinds of opportunities. You know, you can begin serving in another way. It doesn't mean that's what you're going to do, that's your calling. But there's things that the Lord would call you to do, just to have a servant's heart. Helping in the kitchen, doing the meals on Wednesday night. Helping in a nursery, singing in the choir. Say, "I don't know what to do." Then just start ushering. Just to do something to serve God. Just to serve Him. You know, whatever it might be. You say, "Well, I just feel God's called me someday to be a leader." Then why don't you start? Why don't you go through our training and begin, you know, and be a leader of a small group? God doesn't despise humble beginnings. Why don't you start with six people in your living room and just use God and learn? Whatever it might be. You should go to Beacon. Get some classes. Get some training about it. If you're really serious about wanting to go in ministry, you know, Why don't you right now find out about schools that are available? What are you doing to get there? What are you doing? Well, I've just been waiting. Yeah, but it's been 34 years. And that's when you got saved at 30. I mean, you have to start seeking after it. Once you find out about, you know, what colleges, what training is available, what missions organizations offer what do I do? What are the first steps? What do I need to be doing? What do I need to prepare? The older you get, the harder it's going to get. The more responsibilities you're going to have. Get married, and kids come along, and then pretty soon you go, man, I knew God called me, but I just never did it. You can't afford to miss it. And I couldn't help but think of Jonah. You know, God called Jonah. He was a prophet of the Lord. You know, when God calls you, and he begins to speak to your heart, he does it through his word. He can do it through a preached word. He can do it as you read the word of God. He can do it through speaking to you by the Holy Spirit, where you just feel these impressions that are coming by the Spirit. And when it's God's will, those godly impressions are going to get stronger, not weaker. They just keep coming back. A lot of times it has to do with what your passions are, what just touches your heart. You just get so impassioned about that. You want to do something about it. You get upset about it. A lot of times that's a key as to what God wants you to do with your life. Where the Lord raises and brings circumstances into your life that just begin to happen, or experiences where he begins to make known to you. It becomes clear as you go and you walk in obedience to the Lord, to the light that he shows you. Just walk in the light that you have. And then God will show you more as you go. He'll give you more light. Just obey the light that God's given you now. Instead of, well, when I get there, I'll know it. No, you start now. Just go step by step by step by step. Sometimes when the Lord's trying to move us into his will or into his purpose or into that calling, we can be resistant to it. That he wants us, he's trying to impress on us that this is my will for your life right now, whether it has to do with your lifetime calling or just the step that he wants you to take. And so he's trying to get you to that place. And sometimes, you know, he brings resistance into your life. You know, trouble comes to all of us. This is, trouble is like to man, like sparks fly upward, you know. Jesus said, you know, that be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. Remember, he said, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We're all going to have trouble. But it's the kind of trouble I'm talking about. When you start moving in your own will and out of the will of God. And God's there to bring a resistance. It's different than just regular trouble. And you'll know in your heart the difference. You'll start feeling it. Sometimes in the will of God, it's just like, it's kind of like on a flow with a stream or a river in a boat. And you're just kind of going with the current. Sometimes, you know, we really know, and there's other times we're not quite sure, but we just keep going. God just keeps directing us. And when you find out you're not in the will of God, it's boom, when you hit the bank. You thunk. Man, something's wrong here. And so God brings resistance. And if you keep running from God, it gets worse. Remember, the gifts and calling of God are what? Without repentance. God didn't change his mind. It's not that God's mad at you. It's because God loves you. And he wants to bring you into his will. And you're doing it your way. And so it's his loving kindness that's bringing resistance. Things aren't going, man. He's just not answering that prayer. This thing just won't lift. It just keeps going. What's going on? If I was you, you see, I'd really start fasting and praying and seeking God. Saying, God, I surrender. What are you trying to tell me? What do you have for me? What are you leading me in? You know, this story of Jonah is a true story. And it's not just another, you know, big fish story here. Just recently, I don't remember a message not long ago, I talked about some of the very things that skeptics attack and are so critical about. Jesus put his authenticity on and said they were real. Adam and Eve. Jesus said, as it was in the beginning, when God made male and female, that he made them one flesh. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. If they leave their father and mother and become one flesh. Jesus said, Adam and Eve is a real thing. No, at the flood, he said that it was going to be like the days of Noah in the latter days. It would be like it was in the time of the flood. And so he gave a sign. So what was he saying? He said the flood of Noah, that at the time of Noah, really happened. It's not just, you know, the world scoffs at it. Just another nursery rhyme. Jesus said Sodom and Gomorrah was real. It would be like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus said that happened. There was fire and brimstone that would call down from heaven. Matter of fact, he said, you know, that it's going to be worse for you if Sodom and Gomorrah would hear what you're hearing, man, that they wouldn't even have had to go through that stuff. They would have repented. It's going to be worse for you than it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah because of the hardness of your heart. So he said Sodom and Gomorrah happened. And he said that Jonah was a real man. And that this took place. They said, well, we want a sign. He said, well, I'm not going to give you any sign but the prophet of Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in a whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus said it happened. As we go back and look at the book of Jonah, God told him to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, and he wanted to save these people, and he told them that he needed to go and warn them of their sins, and that it was God's love that was sending him there. And well, we know what happened. He said, no way. And he ran from the will of God, that he turned. And you can read, I don't have time to go through this whole book tonight, but you know, when you turn from the will of God, it's a downward journey. You're going down. It's not an upward journey. The moment you turn and start doing it your way instead of walking in God's will for your life and that resistance to God, things are not going to be working out well for you. Do you hear me? I mean, it may even happen a little while. Say, this is pretty good. Well, you're headed for a dead end. And you can read. It says, and he went down to Joppa. He went down into the boat. And he went down into the sides of the boat. And then eventually, he says, he went into the sea and went down into the sea to the bottom of it. I mean, lower, 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 lower. The more you walk out of the will of God, it's a downward journey. And in God's love, he was there every step to providentially put pressure against the disobedience of Jonah to bring resistance to him. It was God's love. I mean, it's hard to get out of the will of God. You got to walk through roadblock after roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. God in his mercy, God in his grace, brings warnings. Things begin to happen. How many know what I'm talking about? Because God wants to direct you, and you can read about it. You know that it says, in the first, the Lord brought a great wind. The storm broke out. And then it says that it got worse and worse and worse. And then they knew, man, there's something wrong. God's brought this storm on. Somebody on this boat is against the will of God. God's causing this thing to come. And they found out who it was. And he admitted it. He said, man, I'm running from the call of God. It's me. This storm's come because of my sake. Throw me overboard. At first they said, well, we can't do that. And after a while they said, I think it's a good idea. That's what happened. And they took Jonah and they cast him into the sea. And immediately the sea stopped raging. It was good for the guys in the boat. It wasn't too good for Jonah because, man, about that time it says God had prepared a great fish. It tells us it was a whale. God prepared it. We see God's providentially planning these things that are going to take place and get his attention. And believe it or not, but it happened. He was swallowed by that fish. You know, when he was thrown overboard and was in that sea, he said, this is looking bad. But when he saw that whale coming at him with his mouth open, he says, this is looking really bad. And it swallowed him. And the next thing he finds out, he's sure he's going to die. But instead, now he finds himself inside of this fish and still alive. Trapped. I mean, God's trying to get his attention. Stubborn. Hard-hearted. Now, I don't know if you've never been swallowed by a fish, but I also know we can be pretty stubborn and hard-hearted ourselves, and it's hard for God to get our attention. Can you say amen to that? Come on, don't look at me so self-righteously. I know you because we're all the same. And then he cried out to God, and he repented. He said, Lord, forgive me. He says, I'll do it. I'll do what you've called me to do. And when he turned with his heart in true repentance, said, God, I'll obey you. I'll do what you called me to do. Then it says that the Lord just spoke to that fish and just vomited him out. Just that's what it says. And he just delivered him onto the shore. He didn't even have to swim onto the shore. Just blah, and there he was. And then he obeyed God. And it says that at that time, it was 3 days' journey to get to the city of Nineveh. And he got there in just a short time, just a day. And when he came, he said what God told him to say. And he told them that the Lord was displeased because of their sin, and that God was going to bring destruction. And it says they obeyed God. This is the king and all the nobles and the people and even their children, even the animals. They fasted and they really sought the Lord. And it says, and God saw their works and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of his evil, meaning he changed his mind because they turned their hearts to him. And it's amazing, but then Jonah got mad. And he said, man, this is why I didn't come in the first place. Because I knew you're a God of grace, and I'm going to come and I'm going to ruin my reputation and get up and feel like a fool and say God's going to destroy you, and then you're not going to do it, Lord. You can read it. And so God's got to continue to deal with him. And he says, well, I'm just going to go up here and sit on this hill and I'm going to see what's going to happen. He just went up and pouted and looked over the city. So God continues to providentially prepare this man's heart. And the word prepared is used 4 different times in Jonah. He prepared. It doesn't matter what happened there, but I'm saying God prepares things in your life. Amen. He prepares things in your life to get your attention, to lead you in your will. Some of them are disciplinary. Some of them, you know, it's through blessing, but God prepares things in your life to get your attention. And a lot of times the very things that we think, you know, horrible, those are the things that God is really using to bring us into a good place. And it said then, you know, that he's there and he's up there, man, and the wind's beating on his head, and he said there's that God prepared a gourd, and this gourd grew up like overnight. And it just came up. And I mean, I know this sounds stupid, but I know it really happened. And it says Jonah, he was exceeding glad because the gourd grew up. He was excited. It's the only time in the whole book we see that he was excited about anything. It's when a gourd grew up. And it tells us that that gourd brought a shadow over his head. And then he said, and then God prepared a worm. And then it killed the thing, and it withered up, and he smote it. And then the next day, God prepared this strong heat, an east wind, and it beat down on his head, and then he fainted. And he said, man, I just wish I could die. It's just better for me to die than to live. Sitting out there stubborn underneath the wind, waiting to see what God's going to do with the city, you know, because the gourd died. I mean, do you understand? God used a whale, and now he's using a worm. God can do anything he wants to, large or small, to get our attention. Matter of fact, seems like he had more response when he had the worm than he did the whale. And then after that, God said, well, do you have the right to, you know, be upset because this gourd died? You didn't sow it. You know, you didn't plant it. You didn't have anything to do with it growing up. And you're more upset about this gourd dying than about all these people? And he says, yeah, I am upset. I just, you know, wish I could die. And then here's what the Lord said. He says, you're so concerned about this gourd that grew up and then perished, you know, in just a day. Shouldn't I spare Nineveh? This great city? That there are more than 64,000 people, that's 120,000 people. Shouldn't I be concerned about 120,000 people? You're worried about a gourd? Listen, God's got a call on your life. First thing you need to know, God's called you. I don't care who you are. You say, well, I didn't know that. Well, you need to know that. The scripture says that you're called. And we need to start seeking it. And we need to know the will of God. And I'm going to be responsible one of these days. And just because I started off doing this doesn't mean that I'm going to do it my whole life. I've got to be open. Wherever you want me to go, Lord, I'm willing. We're just not in a box just because this is what I find out what God wants me to do. This is what I'm going to do. But you don't know that. It's always open. We're always on call. We're always under orders. He's the general. He can take the troops anywhere he wants, anytime he wants. So ours is just to obey him and to just go wherever he tells us to go. Can you say amen? Amen. We talked about Dr. Langley this morning. God's call on him to another fellowship. Hey, he's the general. He puts people where he wants. You know, who are we to interrupt with God and with his plans and with his purposes? So we better find out what God has. The next thing is that the Lord wants you to obey, and it's a whole lot better if we just obey God and yield and seek him and have a servant's heart and do whatever he wants to do. It was strange, but earlier on in this week, I just felt in my heart, I don't know if it's for one person or a number of people that were going to be here tonight, just like the Lord whispered in my heart and said, I want you to share this. I even said, are you sure? He said, there's going to be people there that I've called, that have been running from me. And they're never going to find happiness or fulfillment. And the sea is going to be troubled all the time because they're not in my will. It's the only place they're going to find fulfillment and joy is when they say, Lord, here, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. And the enemy always tells you, you know, it's going to be horrible. Man, if I did that, I'd have to quit my job and I wouldn't have any money and I'd have to sell my car and I'd have to sell my house and man, I wouldn't have any cool clothes and or whatever it is, you know. You know, the devil's a liar. Because, you know, those things, first of all, aren't going to bring lasting happiness to you. And there's lots of houses and there's lots of cars and, there's, you know, there's, that stuff's wherever you go or all over the world. You're going to have a place, you know, to sleep. But it's not the houses and the cars and the stuff and the money and all. That's not what brings happiness. It's when you're in the will of God and you know you're bringing pleasure to his heart. Some of you have been running. And you're saying, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Tonight, God's telling you why. He was not sensitive. Jonah wasn't sensitive at all. He didn't have any kind of discernment. Upset about a worm. We're upset about all this little stuff, and yet we're missing the big picture and what God has for us. God's saying, I called you. You know it. And the Lord's word says, the gifts and calling of God rather depends. I've never changed my mind. Never changed my mind. You've forgotten it. And you've tried to resist it and run. Tried to fill in that hole with other things. It's not working and it's never going to work. And the last thing is that whatever God's called you to do, you know, it's going to be fitting, not saying, God, get into what I'm doing here. It's your life getting into what God is doing. Figure out what God's doing and get a part of that. Amen. And that it's always going to be about bringing people into the kingdom. And the very things that you're going through, the Lord is going to use in your life to actually identify with people out there that have needs. You know, when Jonah showed up on scene, I don't know what he looked like. I mean, I've got my imaginations. The guy had been in a whale, you know, for 3 days. Can you imagine? Oh, man, all that stomach acid, man, and dead fish. And I mean, he wasn't his best hair day, you know what I mean? And he comes out. I can just see him stinking like fish. Maybe even his skin was bleached out from being down in that whale, you know? And that's why they paid attention to him. He says, Man, have I got a story to tell you. And you go, man, you got something to tell us. What happened to you? He says, man, God told me to come and warn you guys you were in your sin and I didn't do it and I got swallowed by a whale. Look at me. Smell me. They said, whoa, man, we believe you. And they believed him and they repented because they identified. They knew, man, God means business. Look what he did to his guy, and this is God's man. And they believed him. And they all repented. But God used that experience. He was the vessel that they listened to. And that God's going to use the very things you're going through now. But I want you to know the Lord's called you to touch people. Maybe God's called you to be a CEO of a huge, you know, company and to just bless and prosper you. He's given you a gift of giving to the kingdom. It's not going to do it if you're not a soul winner. God doesn't care about that, giving money. He wants you to give life. If you're a CEO, he wants you to be a soul-winning CEO. God's called us to touch the lost. God's called us to touch the people. This summer, about a week, we're going to have a big board up there, and we're going to be taking squares off every time a visitor comes to church this summer. We want to see 2,007 visitors in this church and 2,007 in the summer of 2007. How's that happen? It happens with every one of us doing it. It's not hard. How many of you weren't here this morning? You weren't here this morning. You weren't here this morning. I shared with the church. I'm sorry, it was just so cool, I got to share it again. Deborah and I went to this Chinese restaurant to eat, you know, with her daughter and Jason and her husband was there, and there was hardly anybody there. It was middle of the afternoon. Nobody was there, and we sat down and had a meal, and then Deborah noticed these two guys sitting over in the corner, and they're these, you know, these black guys got her attention, and it sounded like they had maybe a Jamaican accent, and he said, Deborah said, man, they just have such a neat spirit. There's something about those guys. They just have such a neat spirit. And then, you know, I was checking them out and looking at them, and I heard him speaking. I thought maybe they're from Jamaica. And then I said, yeah, you know, he said, I just felt impressed. I want to go talk to them. And I didn't say it out loud. And then Deborah said, I think we need to go talk to them. God just impressed on our hearts. So we finished eating. There wasn't many people, just a few people in the restaurant, and went over there and started talking to these guys and, you know, just friendly. And they were just really open to it. I said, excuse me for intruding here, but, you know, he said, man, we just had to stop by and just had to talk to you guys. And where do you go to church? The guy says, with his accent, said, I haven't been in church since I got married. I said, and he said, well, I went back to my country. I said, where are you from, Jamaica? He said, no, I'm from Suriname. I said, He said, well, I went back last year. I went to church. And I said, well, I'm the pastor of Countryside Christian Center in McMillan Booth. He said, where is that? And I told him, and he said, I made a delivery there last week. I brought some stuff there. I know exactly where it is. I know where that is. And then we started talking to him and said, man, I'm telling you, God has ordained for us to come and talk to you. You were just in the building. You know where it is. I mean, God is in this thing. He impressed to come and talk to you. I said, what is your name? He said, my name's John. I said, man, my name is John. I said, I'm telling you, the Lord is in this. God's hooking this thing up. And I had a card, and I got out. I was going to give it to him. I told him when the service times were. And then I turned to the other guy who was with him, and I said, what's your name? And he said, my name's Lloyd. My name's John Lloyd. I said, man, I'm telling you, this is too much. Only God can set this up. Do you understand? And I showed him my card and said, my name is John Lloyd. You'd be like, wow. Hey, when are the service times, you know? See, it's so hard to witness. So hard to witness, God sets the whole thing up, you know? You just fall into it. I mean, how hard is it to just invite people to church, you know? And what's the worst thing that can happen? I'm not interested. And they say, I was persecuted. Persecuted? What are you talking about? They just nicely said, I'm not interested. And what was cool is when we started talking, there was nobody in the restaurant except for a few people. And we're just over there chucking and laughing and having a good time, you know. And they've ever been in the restaurant, they're just digging this thing too. They're listening. His name is John Lloyd. That's John. That's Lloyd. That's too much, you know. You know, but whatever you do, God's called you to share His love with people. Whatever purpose God has for your life, it's going to be involved with touching people with the life of God. You don't have to pray about that one. Oh God, what's your will? God says, why don't you tell other people about me? That's what I commanded you to do. I've commissioned you to do it. Start doing it. I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I know what the Lord whispered in my heart this week. I want to ask you. If you're here and you say, Pastor John, that person you were talking about, it's me. I know I've been resisting God. I've been running from Him, and I know the Lord's called me. But I just haven't done what God's asked me to do. And I want you to just lift your hand up. There's nobody looking around, heads are bowed. But you just say, that's me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And there's more. 16. I can't even see all the hands. 17, 18. Father, it's your love and your grace. Lord, if there was only one person that raised their hand, Lord, you would have come to this earth and died for just one person. If there were just one person, you would have died on the cross. And you brought this word tonight, Lord. If there was just one here, because you love them. And it's only going to be in your will, in your purpose, in your plan, that, Lord, they're going to find fulfillment and joy and where they're really going to be blessed and find out what real purpose is in life. And it's what's going to bring pleasure to your heart, Lord. You're never going to get involved, God, in what we're doing. Lord, you want us to get involved in what you're doing, Father. So I pray for people tonight, even if they raise their hand, I pray there's going to be a turning in their heart. And they're going to begin to seek you, and they're going to fast and pray and say, Lord, I want to do your will. Help me. You're going to have to change some things for me for it to happen, but I'm trusting you to do it. Maybe you're in debt. God says, I'll help you out of debt. If you'll start following me, I'll take care of it. I'll whittle that down. I'll bring you to the place you'll be free to walk in my will. Maybe it's something else that somehow you think, oh, I couldn't go because of this or this or this or this. God says, you just take it one step at a time. If you trust me, I'll turn it all around. How many of you heads are bowed and eyes are closed? You say, Pastor John, I want to walk in God's will, whatever that is. That's what I want from my life. And you just slip your hand in the air. Wherever you are, all over this place, you say, whatever God's will is, whatever it might be, I want to do it. If it's in your community, if He means to move away, if whatever it is, let me see your hands. You just put them up and say, that's what I want. Father, you see our hands and our hearts. Tonight we surrender to you. Lord, tonight as we filled this place with worship and praise, not only, Lord, from our mouth and heart, but God, with our lives. We say, here's my life. I give it to you in worship. I surrender. Whatever you want, I'm willing. And that, Lord, let me have ears to hear. And that I can hear what you're saying. And Father, let us take those steps to just be found faithful in small things. Not just wait, but that, Lord, you've called us, we know it, and now we're going to respond and step out and begin to serve you. And that you're going to lead and guide us. It's going to be absolutely clear. In the name of Jesus. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And just as we dismiss tonight, I want to ask this. If you're here tonight, the first step to knowing God's will is knowing Him. You can't hear His voice unless you know Him. I didn't have a clue about God's will until Jesus came into my life. But when I said, Lord, forgive me, God, all the sin in my life. I know you love me, though. I mean, I was overwhelmed by the presence of God. I asked God to forgive me. I said, Lord, I wanted to do it your way. It's not been working my way. And the Lord brought me to that place of light where I received Jesus into my life. everything changed. It's not just how you believe. I want you to know it's an experience. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's a real experience when the Spirit of God comes into your life. At that moment, it's called new birth or being born again. Or become a Christian, regeneration. It says, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creation. Old things are passed away, everything becomes new. But you're going to experience him. And if that's you tonight, maybe you know you've tried to be good, or you went to church, or you know you're not good at all. But the Bible says none of us are good. There's not one person that's good. And that's why Jesus Christ, the only one that's righteous and good, came and died in my place and paid the price for all my sins, paid in full. I received his forgiveness and received his life, and he presented me to the Father as if I've never sinned at all, not one time. That's what God will do for you and anyone that puts their trust in him. He on the cross, he paid the price for your sins and said, it's finished. And you can't add anything to it. You just receive the gift. And if that's you, I just want you to lift your hand and say, Pastor John, I've never put my trust in Jesus to say, Lord, forgive me. Come into my life. And you know that you know that you know it's happened, that he's in your life. And you have God's plan now as it begins to unfold as you yield and eternal life. And I want you to just lift your hand up and say, pray for me. I see your hand there in the back. I see your hand. Who else? I see your hand. Who else? You just slip your hand up and say, will you pray for me? Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else tonight? You just slip your hand up. I see your hand, ma'am. Yes, sir. I see your hand. Yes, ma'am. I see your hand. Yes, sir. I see your hand. Who else? I see your hand in the back. We're going to dismiss the service now. It doesn't have to be a big religious thing. It's just you yielding to the Lord. We're going to dismiss the service, and I'm going to have some of our leadership come, and they're going to stand here in the front. The Bible says, if you confess him before men, he'll confess you before the Father. It says, if we deny him before men, he denies us before the Father. It's about confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart on the Lord Jesus. That's how we get saved. And then, as we just believe in the gift he's given, it's counted to us for righteousness. And the moment we believe, he sends his Spirit in our heart. It's going to happen. You're going to experience him. We're going to dismiss. Let's all stand to our feet. Matter of fact, even before we dismiss, can we have some of our leadership come, just some of our elders, just stand right here in front of me, right at the altar. Would you do that? Some of the elders, and just stand right here, right in front of the altar tonight. It's right here. Right here. Right here. God bless you. And we're going to dismiss. And if you raise your hand, I want you to come. Just stand before these people. They're going to pray with you. It's just coming in faith. God's going to do it. You don't have to do anything. He takes you right the way you are. You know, it's not after you get cleaned up. You just say, Lord, here I am. You love me the way I am. And he does. He's the one that's going to wash you and make you new and clean, present you righteous. He paid it all, not you. Let's all lift our hands up. Father, I pray for people that lifted their hands tonight. And I pray, Lord, for I don't know how many hands. You saw them. You see their hearts. And tonight I pray not one of those people that raised their hands is going to leave this place without experiencing the greatest thing that's ever going to happen in their life when they meet you personally. And Lord, we lift our hands, all of us tonight. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I love you. And I thank you for bringing forth your truth into my heart, for enlightening me, for setting me free. Lord, you've put your love upon me. I know I'm saved. And I know that it's true, Lord. You've got a plan. You've got a purpose for my life. That you've called me. I want to know your calling. I lift my hands in surrender. Here's my life, Lord. I give you everything. I yield my life to you. I'll do anything you want me to do. Whatever it is, I'm willing. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'm willing. Whatever it may be. I want to walk in your will. And I ask, Lord, in your grace and love, you're going to continue to lead me step by step and unfold more and more of your will to me as I walk in obedience to you. And it's going to be clear. And I ask, Lord, in your loving kindness, that when I turn and miss it, you're going to be there to bring resistance and turn me around. I do not want to miss your will for my life. And I trust you that you have a sovereign plan and you're going to do that work through your loving kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's praise the Lord.